This is Authors in Focus.
Hi, I'm James Reed, a fantasy author publishing under JMD Reed. My first series, The Storm Below, is now out as a full box set. Today, I'm joined by A.A. Warren. She's the author of The Reluctant Wizard. How are you doing today, A.A. Warren?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. It's a nice early autumn day here in Western Washington. It's kind of our last good weather we have before it turns into rain for the next 9 months.
Well, we've hit spring, and all of my garden has sprouted its spring seeds, and I'm hoping to have a huge veggie patch by the end of but before summer kicks in. So awesome. we get the dry heat here.
Yeah, I've lived in like the Southwest where they have the really high dry heat.
And yeah,
I've been to Phoenix, which gets temperatures like Australia does.
Yeah, and real dry. So with the dry heat, they get higher. We hit records of 52 degrees in its Fahrenheit once, and it was like my eyeballs dried out.
Yeah.
But like if it's humid, then you don't want it to hit more than 35 because that's intense. So yeah, it's like a double-edged sword. Do you want a dry heat, more intense, or wet heat, and it's not as intense but still intense in its own way? It's I love summer because, you know, I'm out swimming and just enjoying the outdoor life. Winter, I'm a bit more like a hermit crab, and I'll end up hibernating for a couple of months. I don't know how you do it in the snow. Like I just don't do snow.
Well, I live in Western Washington. We're like a Mediterranean climate, so our snow is like we get like an inch a year and it lasts for like a day. And then it's gone. So it's they don't know how to handle snow up here. Like we had every like 4 years we have like a cold winter where we because of the like the El Nino La Nina cycle here in the Pacific, we'll have like three mild winters and then one like cold winter. And it was our cold winter last year, and they were like, oh no, we're gonna get like 12 inches of snow. It's Snowmageddon. They were all like freaking out up here. And my brother, he lives like in the Midwest where they get like, you know, they get like snow by the, you know, 2-3 foot of snow.
Yeah, that's intense. I see videos on like YouTube and people are throwing hot cups of coffee in the air and they're freezing, and you know, the hot water pipes are frozen. And I'm like, how do you live in that? Like, that's just hell for me.
My brother lived in Nebraska, right? So I visited him one summer. And we hit temperatures that was like 110 degrees, and the humidity made it feel like 120. And that's that's like, I think 52-ish Celsius. That it was just, and then in the winter they go below zero, and that's Fahrenheit below zero.
Yeah, and that's intense. Like that's going from one extreme to the other.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Weather kind of, you know, it's fascinating to me. Like I love going out and watching the clouds change and, you know, the rainbows after the storm. Like I'm always fascinated because for me, I always love finding fantasy in real life, and it's just, it's all magical. But then when I'm experiencing it, I'm just like, oh, put the air conditioning on or put the heater on. Why is it so cold? Why is it so hot?
Yeah.
So I always find the little parts, but yeah, then I'll complain when it's too intense. I like the middle grounds.
I don't have AC, and we had a really bad heat wave this summer. We had 112 degrees where I live, which was like our record temperature.
Yeah, that's where you like your skin starts to just dry out, but then you've got to just keep drinking water. No need for peeing because you just kind of like sweating out.
I had like three fans surrounding me, and they're all like a foot away from my chair I was working on.
Yeah.
And I was like, as long as I don't leave the chair, it's fine. But the moment I do, I'm like, oh, I'm dying.
Yeah. And then if you sit on like a leather lounge, you become one with the leather lounge, and then you've got to like peel yourself off it.
that's why I like the cloth ones. I never like the leather ones.
Yeah, we only have leather lounges here.
Do they? Oh, no.
Yeah, because with the cloth ones, you've got to wash them, because if you sweat that much, then you're sweating it into the cloth. So you, yeah, it's cleaner to have the leather ones because then you just wipe it down.
Yeah, no,
I know. It's like there's a method to the madness, right?
Fair enough. Yeah, like that day I soaked my shirt so much with sweat that the next morning, like, you know, because I just like took it off and went to bed, like I found it and it was still drenched the next morning.
Yeah.
I was like, what the heck? I have never.
Yeah. And then it's like with summer, don't wear white. Like white is the most suitable color to wear through summer, but by the end of summer it's no longer white, it's just like this weird color of your body sweat, and there's no changing it back to white. So avoid white and stick to colors, because then you can hide it all. Yeah, that's why you never see white bathers and white swimmers. Yeah, because you sweat through it. Changes the color of everything. Fun.
So it's great to have you back on the podcast, Warren. I think we had you on a year ago.
Yeah, so The Reluctant Wizard came out a year. It's had its first birthday, and book two is on its way. It's half written, just with the craziness of going on. We've kind of postponed it a little bit just because I didn't want to buckle down and just get it out. Like, there's quite a lot going on in Eli's world. And I just wanted to make sure that I do it justice and do the right thing by Eli. And he's kind of surprised me in book two. I felt like in book one he was a bit reactive to some of the things that were going on around him, even though he was trying to be active and trying to control things, but then things just kind of got out of control. And then for book two, he's really stepping into his power and making sure that the world knows that he's going to fight back, which, yeah, it's a bit funny writing this book and then we've got this world going on and I'm like, oh, no, the world's a bit busy and now I'm reacting to it by not writing as quickly as I used to. So there's some funny parallels going on at the moment.
Yeah, yeah, I bet. Sometimes, you know, life imitates art.
Yeah, yeah, The Reluctant Wizard came well before all of this happening. So it's kind of a bit funny to sit back and go, wow, there's so much of our world in Eli's world and vice versa, finding things that are happening, which I've already written about prior. So that kind of was just a little aha moment, like, wow, that's fascinating. So I guess there's like secret Easter eggs in the book that even I'm discovering myself. And that's what happens when you let a character kind of really rule the process. It's just I'm discovering it as much as the readers are.
Okay. And so you have an anthology coming out this Christmas, right?
Yeah, so every year I publish an anthology, heavily based in fantasy, and on average I have between 10 and 13 authors. The first year was A Fantasy Christmas, and that hit the Amazon bestseller list over last Christmas period in 4 countries, and pretty much stayed there for a solid month as well. So that's a great one. And then last year I published The Magic in Fire, and that focused on fire and the magical elements of fire. And this year I'm publishing When Sleeping Giants Wake. I was just reading another story on it last night, and the theme is giants. So, and the authors are blowing me away. Every single story is completely different to each other, and there's no similarities whatsoever. But I give the writers full complete creative control, and they take the theme and I ask them to bend it, break it, redesign it, and some of the stories are just absolutely amazing. And I'll give you a sneak peek on two of them. One of them is there's a virus that is affecting the entire universe, and it's pretty much Armageddon, not just for the planet, but, you know, every single planet imaginable. And they find this bone, this old fragment bone in in one of the moons on Earth.
Okay.
And you start analyzing it, and they think it's a huge leg bone, but it turns out to be a little fragment of a finger, and the whole moon is just holding this old giant that could possibly, save the entire universe. And it's just fascinating because, like, all these stories are only like 5,000 words, but they're an intense 5,000 word journey. And you know, you love the characters, the worlds are intense, the conflict is, you just jump straight into it, and the resolutions always come with a twist. So you think you know how the story is going to end, and then the twist hits you and you're like, oh, I didn't see that coming. Like, I come up with a few possibilities and then read it and I go, no, I'm blindsided. I couldn't have made that up. So that was fascinating. And then the second story I absolutely love is the planets themselves are giants, and they spiritually embody a human. And Earth itself had gone to sleep. It had been forced to go to sleep. So the other planets jump into their human forms and come to Earth and investigate what's going on. And they find the culprit. And they just kind of like intimidate him the whole time to just stop, you know, hurting Earth. And the twist at the end, I won't reveal it, but I had to read that story three times because the writing is absolutely amazing. The story is just intense. There's so much action. And when you get to the right at the end, you think you can't handle any more action. And then the twist comes in and I'm like, wow, like mind blown. It's amazing. And I just feel so privileged that I get to publish these stories. I'm super excited for this to come out. And I can't wait. And we haven't even revealed the cover or anything. This is an early sneak peek on what's to come.
What do you think it takes to make a really good anthology?
The writers. The writers, for me, we have a secret group on Facebook and we just support one another. When I first started the anthologies, I had a lot of odd conversations with these writers. Like, I would show them the contracts and you know, contracts are always important to have, written contracts, just to kind of show who's protected. You know, everybody's, you know, got their own rights. You know, if they went out and sold the movie rights to their story, you know, I wasn't going to you know, take it away from them or anything like that. It was very safe contracts to kind of like make sure that they're in control of their own work, because I'm a very author-centered publisher. So for me, I was like, I just want to support the writing community, particularly those in the indies, and just kind of embrace writing as a craft. So when I was having these conversations with these authors, they kept saying to me, when are you going to turn nasty? You know, where's the horribleness coming out of you? And I was like, wait, who have you been dealing with? Like, you know, I'm starting this off as a huge creative journey. I want to support authors. I'm an author. I just love this industry and I just want to see great literature out there for fantasy readers. And I think that their love for these anthologies are just shining through, and I feel very supported by the authors, and that's why they're showing their support back to me as I'm showing it to them. So I feel like that's the most important thing, is when you have a huge community behind you that's built on love and trust and purely to make the best writing. That's when you get the best anthologies.
Yeah, I do get the whole turn nasty. I was in a writer group. Like, this guy was he wasn't a writer. At least he wasn't a writer when he formed the group. He was like, yeah, I just want to get some writers together who are in the same sort of genre and like promote each other, right, and build something to help each other out.
Yeah.
And it sounded like a great idea. And like, we were doing like Facebook parties. This is when like Facebook parties really like a big deal, like 4 or 5 years ago. And you know, we were getting really good success, and he used that leverage to build his own audience. And then he was like, oh, now I'm publishing my books. And it's like, oh, okay. And then suddenly the group became just his fan group, and he, like, booted out any author that had a problem with that.
Yeah.
After he used us all to, like, build an audience for himself.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. And then there's a lot of clients like that.
Yeah, the only comfort was is that he got like, yeeted by Amazon during one of their purges for people who were abusing, like, Kindle Unlimited.
Oh, see, that's the thing. I've watched a lot of publishers a bit like myself who have put out anthologies. They don't last. They don't last the long game because they take all these shortcuts and they use everybody in their way to get to these magical goals that they set. And then in doing so, they don't last long term. You know, if anything, we're about to do anthology 3, and the authors are pushing me to tell them what the themes are for the next 15 years. Now, I do have them because I'm super excited. I was like, I wish I could publish one every month, but we put so much into production. We do the full production like a trade company would, like a trade publisher would. We don't do any shortcuts. We have 2 rounds of editing plus, a review round. You know, it's completely like a proper production. And so time and all of our love goes into these things. But at the end, we get more and more writers joining us and the group is growing, but it's growing slowly because it's authentic. It's not, hey, you've got a huge audience, come in so I can leverage you. It's none of that. It's, you know, we've got authors who are using this anthology as their very first publication. Last year we've had someone jump on board, and then afterwards they published their very first book, and it was just great to support them. So, yeah, it's a huge community, and when it's authentic, it will last a long time. Long term, but those who take those shortcuts and nasty shortcuts too and leverage other people, they won't last long.
All right. And if any of the listeners are curious to sort of join your anthology group, how can they go about doing that?
Okay, so the theme for next year is Deals in Blood. And 5,000 words. Anybody who's interested in knowing the process, find me on any social media, or you can find reach out to me on my website on www.aawarn.com.
Awesome. And if you want to let our listeners know where else they can connect with you on the internet.
Yeah, so my website, aawarn.com. I'm on any social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, just /aawarn. I now write a blog on Medium. It's about writing. Again, AA1, and anything about publishing, the indie world, any technical things, selling rights, whatever, find me on LinkedIn.
Awesome. Well, it was really great talking with you.
It's good talking to you too. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you have yourself a good one.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
Bye.
This has been Authors in Focus. You can find my fantasy novels on Amazon. Follow news of my writing at my blog, jmd-read.com, and follow me on Twitter at jmdread. You can also join my reader group on Facebook, Fantastical Worlds of the Imagination. You can find more episodes of the podcast at fantasy-focus.com and wherever your favorite podcast is hosted.